Well, this has to be one of the most incredible boat trip experiences. I've just travelled in a small open vessel along a natural tunnel which cuts through the cliff face here in Gozo, a small island in Malta in the Mediterranean. My trip started at what's termed the Inland Sea. It's a small shale and pebble beach set around a lagoon of tidal water. The pool is circled by high, crumbling yellow cliffs on two sides. There's a short pontoon from which the boats depart. I paid my €5 to the boatman, Louis, and he took me and four other passengers on this 15-minute trip into what appeared to be a sea cave. As we entered, though, I realised it was in fact a long passage of around 250 feet. Stand up. There's enough headroom to stand up inside and view the stalactites hanging from the roof of the cave. As soon as you get to the tunnel's mouth, you're out on the blue waters of the Mediterranean and facing high sand and grey-coloured cliffs. Louis was keen to point out some of the unusual rock formations on view. There's the fungus rock.
The second one, the big rock, the grass on the top.
It's a 200-foot-high chunk of limestone with foliage on top. It was once harvested for plants that were thought to help treat digestive problems. There's even a rock that looks like a rather large reptile.
It's like a crocodile rock on the top.
Well, Louis steered the boat alongside another of Gozo's geological wonders, a natural arch. The yellow limestone landmark stands 90 feet above the rocky foreshore and sea. It's called the Azure Window. It featured in Game of Thrones. Do you remember it? People walk out on the rock arch high above the ocean. Well, many of Gozo's attractions are underground. In Shara, 10 minutes' drive from the capital, there's both a grotto and a cave. You access both sites by entering private homes, which feels a bit odd. Joseph's house is above Nino's cave. It's just a regular limestone terrace with a small sign outside indicating what lies beneath. The property was built by his great-great-granddad Giuseppe in 1888. He found the cave when he began to dig a well. Once inside, you pay €1, and Joseph turns on the lights so you can descend around 12 feet on a curved stone staircase and enjoy a forest of stalactites illuminated to heighten the effect.
The cave goes about 200 feet further inside.
The 60-foot-long cave is refreshingly cool when temperatures outside can reach 35 Celsius in the shade. A few minutes' walk away is a globally important prehistoric site. The Gigantea temples are really important archaeologically. They predate the pyramids and Stonehenge. They are the second oldest man-made structure on the planet. The two temples contain altars and stone hearths, and the layout of what is now an open-air site is marked by walls reaching up to 17 feet in height. The walls are made of stone, some weigh over 50 tons. There's a visitor and information centre where you can buy tickets and see some of the artefacts uncovered and learn the story of this 10,000-square-foot UNESCO World Heritage site. Well, I've just boarded the bus, and I reckon this is the best way to get around Gozo. It's cheap. It's only €2, and the ticket's valid for 2 hours. I'm off to Gozo's small capital, Victoria. There's only 7,000 people. It's a settlement steeped in history. There are very few new buildings. Most are honey-coloured stone terraces with flat roofs, plenty of arches with shutters, and the distinctive narrow windowed balconies. Cornel van Berg was born in France and settled on Gozo after 9 years living in mid-Wales. He owns the tour company gozoadventures.com.
Wander around the back streets of Victoria, you really have the impression you step back in time. You find the old shop signs from back in the 60s, and it's absolutely lovely. It's like time stopped.
The imposing citadel, another UNESCO site, dominates Victoria. The high, sheer walls of this huge yellow fortification curved between the bastions, rather like a child's sandcastle. You walk into the theatre room where Apollo's 360-degree video plays all around you. It's on the walls, the ceiling, the floor. The short movie reconstructs the Turkish raids on Gozo in the 16th and 17th centuries.
The raiders from across the water.
Locals were snatched and taken as slaves. The islanders that remained were ordered to sleep inside the citadel for their own safety until the mid-1600s. That's why the fort's so formidable and large. It contains a cathedral. Looking out from the top of the citadel across Gozo, You can see it's a very dry, very dusty and sandy island. The TV show Brideshead Revisited pretended that Gozo was Morocco. Road signs feature place names which appear Eastern.
In fact, the basis of our language is Arabic. A lot of impact from Italians and from the British.
But your word for, or words for, good evening sound French.
Bonsoir, good morning, bonjour, bonjour.
I'm told that Maltese is really tough for foreigners to master.
You've got 13 different villages. From one village to the other, they do not speak the same dialect.
It was under British rule from 1800 to 1964 when it became independent, and the UK has left its mark.
We still have the red letterbox all over the place, and I think and the phone boxes.
The Gozetan capital is named after Queen Victoria, although locals confusingly use the alternative original name of Rabat.
You just can't avoid it, avoid the bells on Gozo and Malta. We're sitting next to St. George. The first big loud bell will go at 4:45 in the morning.
There are 46 churches on this small island. One of the most impressive is in Shukia. It has a dome 75 metres high and 27 metres wide. Only St. Peter's in Rome and London St. Paul's have got larger unsupported domes. Each Gozetan community has its own religious celebration.
For the village feast, you will have decoration all over the village. The church will be decorated with lights, and in the evening it's absolutely beautiful, just incredible.
Victoria has two saints, and like many football teams, they're represented by colour. You choose blue for St. Mary or red representing St. George Church. And you need to state your allegiance before you go to the annual cultural event, the opera.
We've got two opera houses in Victoria. One opera for St. Mary's, one opera for St. George. There used to be one opera a year on the same day.
When Corneille moved to Victoria with his wife, they had to pick sides.
The first question people asked us, are you St. George or are you St. Mary? So we said we're both. Doesn't work. We decided between us that Rachel is St. George, and I am St. Mary, and that's fine.
Next, we'll learn about Gozo's food and wine and the handicrafts that the island is world famous for. Great Destinations Radio Show. This is the Great Destinations Radio Show. I'm Kerry Jones. Today I'm on the small Mediterranean island of Gozo. It's very different to Malta, the next door island, across a 7-kilometre stretch of sea. There's around 38,000 people on Gozo's 8x4-mile landmass. Malta's much larger and is home to 12 times Gozo's population.
So it's sun, sea, sand, safe, small.
While Malta is quite touristy with some rather ugly 70s developments built for package holidays, Gozo's low-key. There are few hotels. Many visitors rent homes or stay in B&Bs. The biggest resort on Gozo is Marselfoorn. It's where I stayed. There's bars and restaurants along this crescent-shaped bay. Many people come to Gozo for beach holidays, and some of the sandy beaches appear orangey-red. Jacques Cousteau said the inland sea was in his top 10 dive sites, and there are lots of dive companies. Corneille offers kayaking trips through his tour company.
Sea kayaking in Gozo is just incredible. Along the Gozetan coast, which is beautiful, or we take them to Comino, the small island which is just across, and we explore the caves and little inlet and stop for lunch on the beach. And the feedback we receive from a lot of people is that going sea kayaking is the best experience they've had during their stay in Gozo.
There's lots for foodies to do too. Corneille's farm tours give visitors an insight into local production, starting at the farm.
He shows us how to milk a goat. Then we ask the guests to try it, so it's always a big hit. The farmer shows us how he makes the traditional Gebinet cheese.
Either weddings, parties, tours, we do wine tasting, lunches and dinners, sometimes we do barbecues. And what we do is we take them around.
Well, I headed 5 minutes out of town to the Tarmena estate. Back in 2002, the Spiteri family decided to redevelop their 25 hectares of farmland. They've created a place where visitors can learn about local livestock and see crops before they're picked and taste the finished product. Joe Spiteri arranges rustic meals and tastings from his vineyard as part of the farm tours. We walked up the hill as he showed me the range of fruits grown on site.
Figs, mulberries, peaches.
Well, you can buy delicious traditional jams and spreads and chutneys from the farm shop. There's plenty of olive products too, including cold-pressed extra virgin oil. Gozo is also famous for prickly pears, which grow in abundance. You see them everywhere. The shop sells them in preserves, along with wild capers and vinegar, and their famous sun-dried tomato paste.
This must not be refrigerated, even if it's open. But that was the way how they preserved the tomatoes in summer for the winter, because in winter they did not have any tomatoes. The shelf life is incredibly long. We still have some which my grandmother ate, and she died in 1983.
The estate's fruit is used in a variety of 9 liqueurs.
Most popular is the limoncello. Then we have the orange, the mandarin, and figs.
Joseph is in the process of expanding his wine production. His granddad started the winery in 1936. Soon, they'll produce 200,000 bottles a year.
It's really, really good. And believe me, to say that as a Frenchman really hurts. They've got the sun. They're surrounded by the sea. The real reason why the wine is so good is the grape is French. That's my only explanation.
Joe's also proud of his local breeds used to make foods on the estate. Goat's cheese is popular in Gozo. They don't eat the meat, though.
That's the Maltese goat, the perfect example. Look at her.
So you can tell a Maltese goat because the ears are almost like a rabbit's ears.
Yeah, not in there, stupid. Oh, omina.
The goat speaks Maltese. If you want to sample Gazetan cuisine, you can at the estate.
Roast pork with baked potatoes. Cooked together, something that is done only in Malta. We have our, we call it the soup of the widow. That was the poor widow's food. She put everything in her soup that she found from her back garden. Nowadays, it's a speciality.
I've come to the Itztok Cafe. I'm on their balcony overlooking the main square by the citadel in the centre of Victoria. And I'm sampling the Gazetan platter. You'll find that on many menus. Traditional fresh and dry cheese and fresh tomatoes, they taste incredible. You'll also get olives and capers and dried tomatoes on big plates with fresh bread, all drizzled with olive oil. It's delicious. Another commonly found local food is the pastisi, which is a bit like a pasty.
And inside you have either cheese, the local cheese, or you have mushy peas, 25 cents, 30 cents. And that's what the Maltese will have for breakfast.
Tourists often go to see islanders harvest another local product, salt.
It's only for the local consumption, but the fact that they still work the salt pans and keep the tradition going is just beautiful. You will see the original salt pan, which are dating from the Romans.
Visitors to Gozo often take lacework home. It's an island tradition.
It was introduced by the Knights of St. John in the 16th century.
Maria Mitzi operates Bastion Lace from a small workspace and gallery within the walls of Victoria's Citadel.
This is the only proper lace shop, 100% just handmade lace. They've been made for years and years and years, and they've never gone out of fashion.
The number of practitioners is sadly falling.
Selling price between 50 and a euro an hour. And that's why it's dying out. The workers I have, average age of them is between 80 and 85 years.
Rachel Robinson is a registered gold and silversmith. She sells her own work and showcases other Gozo artists from her gallery in the centre of Victoria. And lace has inspired her designs.
I was watching my neighbour and the speed at which her fingers go, even at the age of 18, she's still making lace. The lines of the lace patterns show in the silver, and then I blacken those and clean the surface up so that it has a similar effect.
Gozo is just over 200 miles north of the Libyan coast, so the island is warmer than Britain all year round.
Here we can go swimming up to Christmas. You can experience something very, very different. Away from it all, keep your mobiles away, switch off your internet, and just relax.
Well, to reach Gozo, I flew Ryanair from Manchester. It was about £35 one way. There's no Gozo airport, so I caught the bus from Malta Airport that crossed that island to the ferry port for Gozo. Roads on Malta Island are very slow and congested, and you must allow a couple of hours. Then the ferry takes you across the channel to Gozo every 45 minutes. It takes about 20. You don't need a ticket or boarding card travelling from Malta. You buy a round-trip fare on your return. That confused a number of fellow Brits because we're so used to having to have a ticket when you board public transport. You can learn more about the island at gozoadventures.com.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.